with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings, live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. We're in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonantoni with you alongside Amber Theo Harris today, because as Michael is making the trek from New Jersey out here to Vegas, he's going to be with us all week for our draft coverage. Amber was kind enough to stop by before she hits the road to Detroit to be in person covering the draft for the Raiders. Longtime NFL Network personality, you are locked and loaded on all things NFL, and we so appreciate you joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited about this draft. Detroit's not lovely this time of year. I hear it's freezing, but I love talking to these young men, especially in the emotion when they come off the stage.
Yeah, you're going from 98 degree heat to, what is it in Detroit right now? How are you packing?
I heard it's like 40 degrees, I think. That's what I'm hearing from all my colleagues. Bring a coat. Yeah.
Good luck. That is the one beautiful thing, though, about covering games there is that you have Ford Field and that everything is indoors. And I'm all about domes as a sideline reporter. Give me all the domes.
Very much so. Every time the playoff sideline assignments come out, and if it was like, you know, Green Bay or Buffalo, I was like, can't we get something? I'll take San Francisco.
Please and thank you. Lots of draft content that we're going to get into over the course of the second hour. JP Finley covers the Washington Commanders very closely. We've talked a lot about how the draft starts at 2 with Caleb Williams going number one overall to the Bears. So get his perspective on what he has been hearing out there in DC. Also later on this hour, Connor Allen, betting analyst of 4for4 Football, get the lowdown on what some of his bets have been so far for the draft, because he's somebody who talks a lot about how much he loves betting the draft. It's an information-based market versus, the outcome being decided on the court or the field and having referees at play. It's a different thing. But this year has been a different thing with, I don't want to say the lack of information that has come out, but kind of the confusion of information and nobody really knowing concrete, firm information.
Here's one point, is that we have a lot of young or first-time GMs at the top of the draft right now, a lot of incoming GMs. And so this is their first time dealing with the media. And when you aren't experienced, and you don't know who to trust, you aren't as comfortable, you're going to keep it close to the vest. So I think that's why we're not seeing, look, Adam Schefter might not have the relationships or the Ian Rappaport quite yet with those GMs. And so maybe the GMs aren't giving as much information quite yet because they don't have those relationships. So that it could be as simple as that. It also could be we're in the age of misinformation and misdirection, and they're having a little bit of fun with it, especially the veteran GMs have become very good at that. Mm-hmm. The Les Needs, the Tom Telescos, they're great at that.
Sure. And then you have like an Elliott Wolf who's doing this for the first time, who's saying that he wants an unprecedented type of a haul if he's going to move off of that number 3 overall pick, which leads us to the way that we're going to kick off this hour with a special draft edition of No Way or No Doubt. Roll that open.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt, my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
We're asking Amber Theo Harris today.
Isn't that fun? You had a little Clueless. You had a little Black Sheet in there. That was pretty cool.
All for it. Yeah. And let's start with that number 3 overall selection. The New England Patriots, Elliott Wolf holds the pick. No way or no doubt, Amber. The Patriots must take a quarterback with the number 3 pick.
No way. I don't think that's a lock by any means. And it all depends on who is still available at number 3. I think if Jaden Daniels comes down to number 3, if he is still there, all of a sudden the floodgates are opened and Elliott Wolf is going to be fielding a lot of calls and it's going to become very enticing. Now, I do say no doubt to they will leave the first round with a quarterback.
Okay, see, this is the information that we need here. Now, if Elliott Wolf is picking up the phone, Jaden Daniels is available at 3. No way or no doubt, the Raiders are extremely live to trade up to the number 3 pick to take Jaden Daniels.
No doubt. I think the Raiders have a tremendous interest because of the Antonio Pierce connection. I think he would fit the type of offense that Luke Getsy and the Raiders are trying to put out there. And he says he wants to be a Raider. So all of a sudden, they do have people say, oh, do they have the capital? Yes, they have the capital. They have a first round and a second round this year. And then they could give up their 2025 and 2026, which I think is what it's going to cost. That's why it should be enticing for the Patriots. But the Raiders could very much be live and get their guy, Jaden Daniels, at number three.
You talk a lot to not only, you know, executives, coaches, but the players as well a lot. And you have a great relationship with Davante Adams. Not that he has pull or sway in this situation, but I'm sure he's made his opinions known on what he would like the Raiders to do with the pick. What have you heard from Davante?
And look, I think your star receiver does have a voice, maybe not a say, and they do listen. And Davante told me, he told me back in January when I asked him, I kind of said under the table, I said, hey, I saw him at the Super Bowl. I said, you know, should we get you to a team where you can really win a championship like this year? And he was like, no, I want to stay here. Like, I wanted to be a Raider. I want to stay here. And he said, if they get Jaden Daniels, then that would make me happy. That is a quarterback that I want to play with. And I said, did you tell them that? And he was like, yeah, I've made. And then he went on a podcast with me and James Jones, our podcast, and said that. He's like, I like Jaden Daniels a lot. And he kind of brought up to the brass, hey, I told Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler last year that I love CJ Stroud. I got to know him a little bit before the draft. I said, he is the guy. Can we go up from number seven and get him? Of course, they ignored him. Both of those guys are gone. There was a regime change. Maybe their jobs would have been saved if they went up to get CJ Stroud. But Davante Adams knows talent, and he knows as a receiver who he wants a quarterback, and Jaden Daniels is his guy.
Look out, scouting department. Davante Adams coming for your job as well as being
top
wide receiver.
He knows
the league.
What he's talking about. Yeah.
Okay. We talk so much about offensive players and how much they are going to dictate the outcome of the draft. But let's talk defense here for a moment. No way or no doubt, we will see more than one defensive player taken in the top 10. Could that happen?
Could it happen? Yes, but I'm going to say no way if I have to pick one, because it is so offensive heavy. We're going to see quarterbacks, I think, go 1, 2, and 3 for sure, maybe 4. So that only leaves 6 spots. And then you've got game-changing receivers and franchise-changing offensive linemen. As I said before, I really see the Falcons going maybe edge with Dallas Turner in the top 10. But barring, you know, a trade where another team moves into that top 10, as I see it right now, I don't see more than one player going, maybe 2 at the most.
If you are GM Theo Harris, would you take Dallas Turner or Liatu Latu?
Man, Dallas Turner, you know, coming out of the SEC, that type of experience, you can't underestimate that. But I like Liatu Latu because I like guys with high motor, high emotion, don't take a snap off. The way that he turns the corner on the edge and can get after the quarterback, I might take Liatu Latu, and I think I'm in the minority on that one. That's a toss up.
I love it. Plus money prices for him to be the first defensive player off the board, and plus 145 for him to be a top 10 pick. Just throwing it out there.
We
anticipate, because of the number of quarterbacks that could potentially go off the board, the wide receiver depth, the offensive line depth, that we're going to have a record number of offensive players to go off the board in the first round. That's what the anticipation, but no way or no doubt to you, will we see 20 plus offensive players off?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm going to say no doubt. I think that could happen. I have never seen an offensively stacked draft like this. And at key positions, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, build your team. Edge rushers, build your team. Corners can build your team as well. But I don't think they're going to go until the bottom third of the first round. So I could see 20. I could see 20 right around there going in the first.
Prop for offensive players selected in the first round is 21.5. The over is a plus money price, though, plus 140. It's juiced to the under.
I would go under.
Okay.
I would go under on that one. Because, like, we go back to this talent evaluator thing. We sit here and we have a lot of fun. Offense is sexy and fun, but defense wins championships, and these executives know that, and they're not going to pass up on. They're not going to leave some of these players sitting on the board, some of these corners and edge rushers and defensive tackles.
Yeah. Michael and I joke about this a lot on the program. The wide receiver over under prop is set at 6.5. He's like, oh, of course they're going to take 10 wide receivers. Everybody always thinks we're going to take 10 wide. We're no.
Under.
No way or no doubt, the Arizona Cardinals will end up using their pick at number 4 overall.
I'm going to say no doubt. I can see them. That's the one team in the top 5 I really see sticking and picking. I think they're going to go wide receiver there. And whether that's Marvin Harrison or whether that is Malik Nabers, I think that's a toss-up. You know, people assume that Marvin's going to be the first one off the board. But a lot of scouts I talk to, like Malik Nabers, and have them ahead of him. So either way, I think Kyler Murray gets a receiver and they try to build that offense.
Well, I mean, going off of that, Marvin Harrison Jr., no way or no doubt, he's the best non-quarterback prospect in the draft to you. I know you said some evaluators like Malik Nabers. Could a defensive prospect be the best in your opinion? Marvin Harrison Jr., no way or no doubt.
I'm going to say no way.
Who is it for you?
I'm not going to be shocked if we see Malik Nabers. I'm okay. Just not, based on what I'm hearing. And also, I always look at the conference that they played in. You know, with Marvin Harrison, you know, you don't play a lot of strong teams in the Big Ten. But if you look at Malik Nabers, the type of competition, the type of corners that he played against, some people are saying, and they like him as a developed route runner, which is really important in the NFL, and a yards after catch. I've heard Deebo Samuel's name thrown out as a comp as a yak receiver. And that goes a long way in the NFL. So don't be surprised. I'm not saying I know either way, but I would not be surprised it's not a lock that Marvin Harrison is the best.
Marvin Harrison Jr. price-wise, -500 to be the first non-quarterback selected. Malik Nabers, though, the second shot at +300. One more I'm going to hit you with. All six of the potential first-round quarterbacks will be drafted on Thursday. No way or no doubt.
No way.
I already know your answer.
No way. It's going to be Will Levis 2.0. Like, we're going to watch some quarterbacks slide down the board because these teams know that they can get a quarterback in the second round. Bo Nix is probably going to be in the second round. Okay. Maybe Michael Penix.
No one's odds in the quarterback market have been more volatile than Jaden Daniels to go #2 overall to the Washington Commanders. When we come back, Commanders reporter for NBC Sports Washington, JP Finley, joins the show. What he's hearing about Daniels and all of this quarterback madness at the top of the draft. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The countdown continues. We're just 2 days away from the NFL draft. And make sure you come join us with VSiN's exclusive coverage come draft day Thursday, starting at 6 Eastern with VSiN primetime host Tim Murray, Jonathan Von Tobel, and special guests Mike Golic Jr. and Sr. as they dive into draft prospects and predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 Eastern, where our guy Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of those first-round selections. Michael giving out his thoughts on every single draft day pick and trade as they happen. Watch the special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page, and cap off the night at 11 Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where they'll wrap up all of the first round action. Find all of your NFL draft betting insights, including Matt Heumann's mock draft, at VSiN.com/draft. And this has been a locked and loaded draft edition of the Lombardi Line today as well. Stormy Bonantoni and Amber Theo Harris with you today. As we welcome in on the progressive guest line, you might have heard just now a moment ago, JP Finley covers the Commanders closely for NBC Sports Washington. Can also catch him on B. Mitch and Finley weekdays from 10 to 2 Eastern on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Quick turnaround for you to join us today, so we appreciate your time, JP, and I'm really, really hoping you can give us the intel on Jaden Daniels and what's going on at the #2 overall pick. How are we doing today?
Hey, doing great. Thank you guys for having me. I've kind of thought it was going to be Jaden throughout this process. Obviously, it was a little interesting last week when you had the Topgolf draft party with four different quarterback prospects. And then you had, you know, Jaden's agent kind of tweeting what appeared to be an unhappy emoji. But I think the fact that betting markets are now so heavily back to Jaden, I firmly believe that somebody in the Commander's front office probably reached out to Daniel's representatives and was like, hey, what's going on here? Is everything good? And I think the word was, yeah, it's good. And I think it's going to be Jaden Thursday night. I think part of this was that Daniels and actually in Vegas, Antonio Pierce had this really close, long relationship. Pierce was on the ASU staff when Daniels was recruited there. And I think if Daniels lived in a perfect world, he would go to Vegas to play for Pierce. But that's just not what's going to happen. Commanders GM Adam Peters said on the record with television cameras in front of him that they wouldn't be trading the pick. And I tend to take him at his word. And I think for all of the intrigue of the last week, Thursday night will actually end up kind of as expected with Caleb and then Jaden.
JP, it's Amber Theo Harris. It's good to talk with you. I have a theory of them moving Sam Howell out so quickly before they even drafted a quarterback. I thought that was somebody you keep around to maybe back up whoever you take. But the fact that they moved him out so quickly kind of made me think, oh, are they going to go with Drake May because they don't want to draft a Tar Heel to replace him and their friends? Did you read the tea leaves on that one, or am I reading too much into it?
I don't. And first off, go Terps and go Orioles. But
there you go.
I think at the time they were moving Sam, maybe was partly Drake May driven, but I also think they were just going to move Sam because he wasn't going to be their guy, and I think they were just better off not having that potential. I don't know. DC, you know it, Amber. DC is such a funny market that the most popular guy in town is always the backup quarterback. And I think Howell like showed enough his last season for people to kind of be interested. And I think that, you know, if there was a rookie that struggled, there'd be some people that want Sam back. And then some people are like, why didn't you give Sam another year to prove that he was the guy and blah, blah, blah. And I think, you know, there was some good stuff for Howell for sure, but the bad was pretty bad. And I think these guys just wanted to start fresh. For me, when they signed Mariota was the bigger step than necessarily looking at Drake. Because once they signed Mariota, Mariota's clearly coming in to be a number two, a backup QB. And Howell is not sticking around to be the third quarterback. And they've been very clear that Howell's not going to be the starter. And Brian Johnson, who was the Eagles OC that got canned, Washington has brought in to be passing game coordinator. Brian Johnson was with Mariota in Philly last year. I thought the Mariota move was really kind of the writing on the wall for Howell, and in a lot of ways it proved to be.
Because you talk about the fans' perception of who that number two quarterback is, like what's boots on the ground, your pulse of the fan base on who they would want to be the selection in the draft at two?
Oh, man, I think Twitter's such like a bad place. I think if you did like a Twitter poll, it'd probably be pretty close to split between Drake and Jaden. But I think just regular talking to people that exist off the internet and off their phones, I think there'll be a ton of excitement for Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I mean, the guy just won the Heisman. He's an electric playmaker. There are like the analytical crowd that will point to Drake's potential and upside and some of the stuff that numbers will tell you Daniels didn't do that great, the pressures and sacks and stuff. But I think that guy improved so much over the last two seasons at LSU that he could still improve a lot.
JP, Cliff Kingsbury, how much should we be looking at what he has done in the past to anticipate what will be done in Washington as far as offense is concerned? You know, bringing in Austin Eckler, you know, still having Brian Robinson back there in the backfield. Do you feel like we should be thinking, you know, you automatically think Kyler Murray, air raid. He got rid of Josh Rosen, you know, just to bring in Kyler Murray. Does Jaden Daniels fit into what we would guess Cliff Kingsbury is trying to do? And clearly a lot has to do with keeping the football on the ground and pound.
Yeah, you know, I think when that Cardinals offense was at its best, they had I think it was John Connor and Chase Edmonds combined for over 2,000 yards from scrimmage in the pass game and the ground game. So, and they brought in Anthony Lynn, who most recently was with the Chargers, but has kind of famously came up in that, or not the Chargers, rather the Niners, but coached the Chargers previously. And, you know, he's a Shanahan running back. Like he's going to believe in some real zone block running. But I think I had a quarterback's coach text me that he thinks putting Jaden in the Cliffs offense is gasoline on the fire, that it could really be explosive. And I think you'll see plenty of spread concepts. And I mean, Jaden throws that slot fade maybe better than many quarterbacks coming out of college have ever thrown it. And I think you'll see a lot of that where they just try to create, you know, mismatches all over the field. And I think it'll be advantageous.
see if he can elevate the Commanders over that 6.5 season win total that we have there right now. And JP, before we let you go, I am a hockey person. The Caps won 4 of 5 to end the regular season. That momentum did not carry over to game one against the top seeded Rangers as they started their playoff series. Back at MSG is a pretty big underdog tonight. How do you foresee this Capitals team responding in game two?
It's funny. I'm actually in New York covering Rangers for NBC4 in DC. As much as the final score there, 4-1, was kind of ugly, I'd say like 70% of that game, Washington kind of was in there. They gave up 2 goals in 30 seconds, and their power play was awful in that game. Their power play has been pretty good all year. And Alex Ovechkin, I was in the locker room with him. He was very, very upset with, I think, personally, his level of play. And I mean, if I get a really juicy number with a pissed off Alex Ovechkin, I'm at least interested.
You're awesome, JP. Yeah, plus 235 the price on the Caps tonight. Good stuff. Appreciate your time and enjoy what is a busy week with NHL playoffs and the draft upon you guys. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, JP.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Yeah, I should have known I was going to be the third wheel to that conversation.
Yeah, it's a DMV thing. It is a DMV thing. Yeah, I'd known JP covering. I came out of that market. So yep. we go way back.
Yeah, how long were you with the Orioles, too?
I was a beat reporter for the Orioles for 5 seasons. Yeah. So I've covered a lot of live baseball traveling. I did 152 games. I got just a couple of games off a year.
I say all the time, that is a different lifestyle.
It is a different lifestyle, and you have to love baseball, but I'll tell you, you become a much better journalist and reporter when you were covering the mid-2000s Orioles and they were 15 games out of first place at the All-Star break. Yeah. You learn how to think about your questions before you ask them and dig for storylines.
No doubt about
it. But hey, they're the second favorite to win the AL East. I saw it pop up on our screen.
On the come up.
Yep,
there we go.
Go Orioles.
What did you make of JP's comments, though, in terms of the offense looking forward under Cliff Kingsbury and what they could do?
I think it's what we thought it was going to be, and it makes a lot of sense for Jaden Daniels to fit into that. That's why it was good hearing from him. And he dispelled kind of what we were thinking about maybe the Drake May theory. Mm-hmm. You have to think about the coaches, the offensive coordinators they're going into, who's around them. Plugging Drake May into that doesn't make as much sense as Jaden Daniels does, right? If you look at what Cliff Kingsbury did before, as I said, bringing in Kyler Murray when he was like, forget, I don't care that you guys had a first round draft pick right before this and Josh Rosen, I don't want him. So I'm going to bring in my guy. I'm going to bring in my offense. And signing Austin Ekeler, very telling there, a guy that can catch out of the backfield and run the football. I think there's going to be a lot of rushing yards in Washington.
Well, in just about 2 days, we will finally have answers to some of these questions. Jaden Daniels, as of right now, $4 favorite to be the number 2 overall selection. More NFL draft conversation with 444.com's Connor Allen on the other side of the break. More and more teams are holding information close to the vest. Betting this year's draft has not been as cut and dry as years past. How Connor is sifting through the information when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we at VSiN are offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all of the action, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's games, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This offer is only for a limited time. VSiN.com/splits is how you can get your free 2 week access today, alongside Amber Theo Harris, our resident NFL expert, holding down the fort while Michael Lombardi is away. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And now joining us on the Progressive Guest Line as we continue all of this NFL draft conversation, just 2 days away now, Connor Allen, betting analyst, 444.com, at Connor Allen NFL on X. Connor, welcome in. This is like everybody's betting analyst, draft analyst Christmas. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on. No better time to talk ball. The NFL draft is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Tons of bets to be made, tons of money to be made. I personally, the NFL draft is one of my favorite betting events of the year. So excited to be on and talk about it.
Well, so with that in mind, you say it's one of your favorite events. This is an information-based type of a market, right? Which typically can have its advantages. What's the challenge been in a year like this where so much information feels like it can be misleading, a lot of GMs and teams keeping things close to the vest? How have you kind of deciphered through all that information?
Well, it's interesting, too, because with ESPN acquiring a sports book, you know, some of their employees have been explicitly told to not say anything, you know, directly about a pick as well. So I think that there's a general lack of information that's been strong in years past. For the last 2 years, there's been a lot of, you know, uncertainty, especially at the top. Last year, Will Levis was the favorite to go second overall for a good bit leading up to the draft. Obviously, that didn't pan out. And now we're, you know, looking at Jaden Daniels to be, you know, a pretty heavy favorite here to go second overall. But overall, you know, I think analyzing the different sources and paying attention to which people have connections in certain teams. So we have, you know, Daniel Jeremiah has been great with the Jets, is something specifically notable. But there's a bunch of very good mock drafts and some that are worth paying attention to, some that are not. So I guess understanding and sussing out those sources are pretty important.
You know what? The reason why Daniel Jeremiah has been really good with the Jets is because he and Joe Douglas started out together as scouts, junior scouts with the Ravens, and they're still good friends. And also, I would always listen to Daniel Jeremiah when it comes to the Chargers, because as the color analyst for their network, for their games, he's a good source. So what resources should bettors and fans be using this week? What information should you be avoiding, I guess I could ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say that there are some mock drafts that are based in, you know, their own personal opinions of scouting. So, you know, unless someone has worked in the league and understands like how leagues or teams think, I don't really think that analysis that starts with your own personal opinion of a player holds a ton of water unless you kind of have that experience. Because our goal when betting on the NFL draft is to be as accurate as possible with who is going to go where, not as accurate as possible with how good a player is going to be or which player you think being best belongs in the spot. So me saying that I think Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback and should go number two, I mean, sure, that, you know, that's fine, but I'm not an NFL scout. You know, like I would trust guys, you know, again, like Jeremiah, who I have a little bit more connection and, you know, friends with people in the NFL, and we understand how they're going to think.
By the way, Daniel Jeremiah and his latest mock draft, he has the Jets trading with the Chargers. I just said, listen to the Jets and the Chargers information. He has the Jets trading with the Chargers to go up to number five to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So I take a look at that one.
Interesting. Interesting. As far as top five, you have a bet here on JJ McCarthy to go under that 5.5 draft position. Draft position mark. I am similar with you in that vein, just based on everything that we've heard about JJ McCarthy being a top five pick, which, again, to your point, I disagree with. I don't personally think that JJ McCarthy should be a top five selection in this year's draft, but everything that we keep on hearing and that's been reported seems that that's going to be the case and that a team would be interested in trading up to take JJ McCarthy. How sold are you on that under 5.5?
Yeah, I like you, as you know, met this initially with a lot of skepticism surrounding him being a top five pick. But there's been a pretty steady drumbeat of how NFL teams view him differently than the media. And every year this happens. There's players where the NFL consistently is higher on and the media is consistently lower on. And now we've reached a point where everyone's talking about it. And I think it makes a ton of sense. And mostly because there are multiple outs here in the top five. You know, specifically at picks 4 and 5 here, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who we've already seen are willing to trade down, potentially trade back up. You know, they already have multiple first round picks, so maybe they don't get it done, but they're, I think, very likely to potentially trade out. And then if for some reason they want to stay and pick Marvin Harrison Jr., which again makes sense, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a fantastic prospect. We could see at number 5, the Chargers trade back, who are, I think, incredibly motivated to trade back. They've only been linked to basically offensive linemen, and specifically maybe even right tackles like J.C. Latham or a guy like Dallas Turner on the edge. Like, there are different ways that they can go about it, but none of which are really necessarily locked in top five picks, whereas teams like the Vikings, the Raiders, the Broncos have been rumored, and even the Giants, to, you know, to get ahead of the team like the Giants to try and get a guy like JJ McCarthy, what most people view as kind of the, like, the tier drop off of quarterbacks. After that, you're looking at just like Michael Penix and Bo Nix, who have gotten some first round buzz, but it's not quite the same as JJ McCarthy.
Connor, a lot of people love Michael Penix as far as one of the best arm talents in the draft, the deep ball ability and a true passer. I don't see him going past what we kind of call quarterbacks row in the middle of the first round there. You just mentioned the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders, but you have him going into the second round in one of your best bets. You took the over on 32.5 draft position, so you have him in the second round. You see him really falling that far down?
Yeah, so it's a little bit contrarian. Like, it's one of those things where all the steam is pointing the other way at this point. And so it's, you know, a lot of people have talked about him being in the first round, but I feel like this is almost something that's been, you know, it's like a repetitive thing that we see every year where a guy like Hendon Hooker, you know, off multiple ACLs, was a Heisman candidate, you know, played really well, was rumored again by a lot of very sharp, plugged in people to be a first round pick heading into the NFL draft, you know, falls to the third round. We see it basically every year. And so I think that Michael Penix does fall in that category. And given the odds, we're looking at like plus 185, plus 200 to not be a first round pick. I think it's interesting because you have Michael Penix with four season ending injuries in his career. And some people care about him being a left-handed quarterback. You know, I don't personally think it matters, but some offensive coordinators don't like flipping their offense. Like that's, you know, just somehow people sometimes how people look at it. So for me, it's kind of the with the injury red flags and just like the quarterbacks being bumped up into the first round every year. For me, I thought it was a good look here at around plus 185, plus 200.
Well, and that's a prop too that a week ago you could have gotten plus money on the other way. So it is so interesting how much these markets truly are moving. Aside from quarterbacks, is there any other, whether it's like a player going to a specific team, a position over under that stands out to you that's still available to be bet right now because these markets have been so on the move?
Yeah, there's a couple of long shots because I know that's what the people, you know, to hear about.
Oh, yeah. So
let's roll with some plus money here. Forget the minus 110. We'll go with two that I like towards the back half of the top 10 where, you know, most sports books are posting markets of 1 through 10 at this point. So I think there's a little bit more uncertainty than most people are projecting with picks 9 and 10. Pick 9, the Bears. I'm not buying the Byron Murphy hype at all with them going there. They drafted a defensive tackle in the second round, the third round, and they re-signed their current defensive tackle as well. So I think that they're going to go with an edge in Jared Verse. And you can find that anywhere from 4-1 to 7-1 and 9th overall. Now, if Roma Dunzo or Malik Nabers are there, I think that they'll be the pick. But assuming those guys are gone, a guy like Jared Verse makes a ton of sense for me, pairing him with Montez Sweat based on what I've heard. So I like that one at 9th overall. 10th overall is interesting as well. Everyone's sold on Brock Bowers, the Jets. Again, in my mind, I love Brock Bowers. I think he's an awesome player. But, you know, from what I've heard behind the scenes, that he's not necessarily a lock to go with the Jets right away. I've heard that they really like a guy like Fatanu, the interior offensive lineman that can potentially develop into a long-term option on the tackle spots there. So I think that both those, given the odds, are really great looks depending on where you find it.
Man, imagine if the Bears get Rome Odunze, then Caleb Williams would have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze. Talk about putting them in a pretty good position to succeed. What bets you have left? Give me some of your best bets that we haven't talked about that you're really high on right now.
Yeah, so coordinating with kind of what we talked about a little bit without Bowers, I took Bowers over 11.5. I took Dallas Turner overs. Those are a little bit, you know, kind of on and off the board. Also, a guy rising up boards a lot. Liatu Latu, I really like his under specifically, and potentially even 8th overall. I'm worried the Falcons trade out, a decent portion of the time because that's a hot spot for an Odunze or a Nabers. But if they stand pat, I think the Latu is their number one edge on the board as long as he's medically cleared, which is a big if. But if he is, which is what we're hearing, then I think that they go with Latu there at 8th overall.
Awesome stuff, Connor. Good luck with all of your bets this week. Appreciate your time and insight.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Follow him on X at Connor Allen NFL and, of course, all of the great work at 444 Football. But I what you said about the Bears situation.
Think about that.
They have done a really good job putting some talent. Like, in terms of the situation that Caleb Williams is going to be walking into right now, it's pretty phenomenal for a number one pick.
The only problem, and I know we're going to talk about this later in the show, teams that are kind of one good draft away from competing. Yeah. I think don't sleep on the Bears as being a team that could compete. The problem is the NFC North is going to be a bear, no pun and all the pun intended. But look at if their defense played very well in the second half of last year. So they have a good defense in a division that has to go up against the Lions and the Packers. And then you have the ability to score points on offense. Look out. That Bears fans should be excited.
That defensive improvement, a big reason why Matt Eberflus is still employed and gets to be a part of this process.
He's got to get this right.
Yep, no doubt about it. We're going to hit the break, but wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line when we come back. Stormy Bonantoni and Amber Theo Harris holding it down. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament last week through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. the crown is yours. Stormy Bonantoni alongside Amber Theo Harris as we wrap up today's draft special edition of the Lombardi Line today.
We've gone draft heavy.
Yes, yeah. A little bit. But I mean, who better to discuss all of this with than you, who have been like so dialed in researching each and every one of these prospects because of the role that you have with the Raiders right now. And like, I guess for some folks who might not be as familiar with what you're doing this week, can you give them the breakdown, the lay of the land of what you got going on?
Well, I did the Raiders draft special because I work for the Raiders, but I also work for NFL on Westwood One. And so I'll be part of the national broadcast that is covering the draft. So I'll interview all of the 13, assuming they all go in the first round, first rounders that are in Detroit. So, I mean, draft research, yeah, it takes months. It's a lot, but it's one of the most fun times of the year.
So based on a lot of the work that you've put in on the back end about these teams and some of their team needs, is there a franchise or two that you feel genuinely is one good draft away from really making a push, being a playoff contender, taking that next step? Who are some teams that come to mind for you?
Every year we have a team that maybe not necessarily every year goes from worst to first, but we do have a team that maybe goes from second last in their division to first. And in last year, we saw the Texans have one good draft and it turned their entire franchise around by taking CJ Stroud at number two and then coming back into the first round and getting Will Anderson. So going with two strong players, two Pro Bowlers, by the way, and their rookie of the year. And then you make the playoffs. Talk about return on your investment, right? Now, does that happen often? No, but D'Amico Ryan's coming in, being a defensive-minded young head coach, really changed the culture there. So to answer your question, and I know people think, oh, you're going to say the Raiders because you work there. There's a couple teams. I could see the Falcons, the Bears, and the Raiders being one good draft off. The reason for the Raiders, tell me that the Texans had players equivalent to Max Crosby, Devontae Adams. I mean, even on special teams, guys like, you know, A.J. Cole, they didn't, right? And they were able to turn a season around by one good draft. I think right now the Raiders have the best receiving core in the AFC West for sure, with Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker and Michael Mayer. They have a defense that was top nine scoring. People don't realize that. So I think they're one of the more ready-made rosters that if you plug the right quarterback in there. I'm not mad at Zamir White and Alexander Mattison in the backfield. I think that can work in that offense, but plug the right quarterback. Let's go out on a limb and say Jaden Daniels. I think that could be really exciting for this Raiders team.
And let me just say, because you joke about, oh, I'm a homer because I work for the Raiders. I have worked for numerous teams in my career and I have always been more like pessimist than optimist, yeah. Right?
Well,
I think that's natural.
When you're on the inside, you see all the warts, right?
Yes.
And you know the truth and the flaws. And I just think there's too much talent on this Raiders team to not succeed if they draft right. And I could even see them not going quarterback and getting a really good defensive player, a corner, and having a lot of success as well. So that's one team. The Falcons, the reason why I picked them is because I think they can win the NFC South. Mm-hmm. I think I look at the division, right? Do you think that one good draft could put them ahead of the Buccaneers or the Panthers or the Saints? Absolutely. I think Kirk Cousins, they're going to score a lot of points. The offense I'm excited about. You have Drake London. I almost said Drake May. You have Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Darnell Mooney and Rondell Moore. They have Bijan Robinson in his second year. So I think the offense is going to be set. But remember, they have a defensive minded head coach. And quietly, the Falcons had a top 11 defense last year. So with Raheem Morris there, I could see them turning it around pretty quickly.
And you know what? They're a team that last year, even despite where they ended up finishing, we're still in the mix, right? And they,
down to the wire.
They have so much talent that it just felt like, specifically offensively, was underutilized. If this new coaching staff is able to come in and like squeeze the juice from that orange and get the most out of the weapons that they already have, I absolutely am with you there. And I think that's a big reason why we see them favored in the division now to win it. And that win total is still only 9.5, though, which is so interesting. It shows you what this division is and the warts that they have.
Well, every year, the NFC South, it's like, okay, who of the worst is going to
exactly.
win? You know, you really don't think like they're going to make a run in the NFC if you win that division. But I see the Bears going up to the NFC North. I mentioned this before the break. Imagine if they do at number 9, or even maybe they move up a little bit from number 9 and call the Chargers up and say, hey, can we get to number 5? Because we'd like to take a Malik Nabers and give them to Caleb Williams. Then you have three frontline receivers right there. You would have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, along with maybe it's a Malik Nabers, maybe it's a Rome Odunze for Caleb Williams. But then DeAndre Swift came there. You have Khalil Herbert. You have a really good backfield, as well as Cole Kmet as a tight end. And they were a top 12 defense last year in the NFL. And I think if we condense that to the second half of the year, it would be even higher. I didn't look that up. So yes, the Bears could be a competitive team. Are they going to be competitive enough to go against Jordan Love and the Packers and a team that went to the NFC Championship in the Lions? I think their division makes it difficult for them to be on the rise. But I wouldn't be mad at them having a good year this year and then really being contenders next year if the draft turns out well.
A potentially unbelievable situation for a number one overall pick to be walking into in Caleb Williams. Win total for the Bears going into next season sitting at 8.5. They are a -120 number for this team to make the playoffs next season. So there are certainly some expectations, I think, that are coming along with this regime and new young quarterback that's coming in. And
everybody believes the hype, right?
Yeah. And you get that pick at number one, you get that pick at number nine. Like it's a good opportunity.
They're sitting in a very good position right now. Yeah. I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited in Chicago.
So I want to close out asking you a couple more Raiders questions, if that's all right, because you are the go-to. When you mention that for that first round selection, sitting where they sit, they could go quarterback, they could go defense. If it is quarterback, who do you think is the most likely candidate for that spot? I know we talked a lot of mock drafts have that guy being Michael Penix Jr. Do you think, based on like the people that you've been around, that that would be a fit?
I know that there's a lot of buzz around the Raiders organization around Michael Penix. The question is, where are they drafting?
And I say, if they don't go up into number three and get Jaden Daniels.
Okay, because
I
if Jaden Daniels falls to three, it's going to get really interesting to see what they're willing to give up. If they sit at number 13, I could see them going quarterback with Michael Penix. Because look, I know history doesn't determine what's going to happen necessarily in the past, but the identity of the Raiders was, you know, the long ball. Al Davis would love a Michael Penix in there, the late, great Al Davis. I could see, I mean, imagine, I mentioned the receiving core with Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. Trey Tucker was a third round pick last year that has tremendous speed and can take the top off of a defense. And then Michael Mayer in the red zone, this big body tight end. That receiving corps needs somebody that can get them the ball and has a heck of an arm. And Michael Penix is that guy. I could see him fitting into that. And a lot of people say just his swag, the way he carries himself, is very much the Raider mystique. And I think that would be exciting for them. But I wouldn't be surprised if they double down on defense. I don't know why. Okay. I kind of have a hunch that they could go corner, because historically they have struggled in the first round with corners. They feel like they've hit something with Jack Jones, bringing him in, you know, at the end of last year. And Marcus Epps, they feel really good about him. So the secondary could really be solidified with a heck of a front four. They could compete in the AFC West with a top defense.
And we mentioned those names, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, who could be available at that spot. But I asked selfishly about Michael Penix Jr. because we had Connor Allen on, betting analyst for 4-for-4 Football moments ago, who took the over on Michael Penix Jr.
I don't agree with that one.
But I have an under ticket in my account.
I would take the under on that one. Not because I know if he's going to the Raiders or not. I think someone else will get him in the first round if he starts to fall, if nothing at the bottom of the first round.
Well, and I am just of the belief as well that right now the quarterback's prop is set at 4.5 quarterbacks to go in the first round. Mm-hmm. My thought process is, if there are five, that Michael Penix Jr. would be that fifth over Bo Nix. And that was kind of my approach, because I could get a plus money price on Michael Penix Jr. versus laying an astronomical number, like minus, not astronomical, but for my bankroll, okay, I don't feel comfortable laying -250, okay, let me live. And for that to be over 4.5 quarterbacks. So that was my approach. There's also a head-to-head prop with Michael Penix Jr. -250 to go ahead of Bo Nix. Bo Nix would be +200 there. Is there a world where you see Bo Nix ahead of Michael Penix Jr.?
I don't think so. I think there's a little bit of a gap between the two on most scouts' boards. So I think Michael Penix is going to be the fourth or the fifth. I am not convinced that J.J. McCarthy goes before Michael Penix.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not convinced. J.J. McCarthy, look, he wasn't asked to do a lot at Michigan. There's a lot of upside. He's very young. There's a lot of upside. He's very good throwing across the middle. He's outside of the hashes, though. There's some question marks. He's a developmental kind of guy. And it doesn't matter what Jim Harbaugh says about how great he is. I still remember that Penn State game where he was asked to throw the ball 8 times because Michigan football was, we're going to beat you up on defense. We're going to run the football. And this is how we're going to win, which, by the way, think about what the Chargers might do in the draft based on Jim Harbaugh's philosophy. I could see offensive line because of that, or defensive line because of that philosophy. Everybody says wide receiver. I don't see that happening if they stay and pick at number 5.
We are very like-minded in that thought process. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Jim Harbaugh says those comments and that's a smokescreen. That is genuinely philosophical. exactly what we have seen him believe in every stop mm-hmm. that he has been at. So I see the trenches being an area that he wants to upgrade far more than worrying about wide receiver, yep. even with the talent that they lost. Amber, you are amazing. Have an incredible broadcast with Westwood One. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. We'll do it again.
Travel safe.